Hello, fellow explorers. Welcome to Siren Soapbox. We're on a mission to explore. And this week, ladies and gentlemen, but mostly just ladies, because I'm talking to my fellow sirens right at the moment, we're exploring phrases. Now, this is a mystery episode. The sirens don't really know what it's about, so allow me to explain. Do you guys remember the phrase, curiosity killed the cat? And do you remember that we learned that it's really curiosity killed the cat, but satisfaction brought it back? So that's a phrase that we've totally gotten it wrong. And then we discovered the full phrase thanks to the book Think Like a Mind Reader by Jonathan Pritchard. That was way back in episode 42. Can you believe it's been that long ago?
Wow.
Crazy.
It's 100 episodes.
That's crazy.
Ago. September 2021 is when we recorded with him.
Wow.
Yeah. So basically since then, I found it so interesting that we've been saying that one phrase wrong our entire lives, that I went on kind of a mission to find some other phrases that we've been using only partially and therefore incorrectly. And I put my 11 favorites together for you tonight.
Yes.
Fun.
So first, what I'll do is I'll reveal the common phrase, the one that we know, and we'll kind of talk about what the meaning of the phrase is. And then I will reveal the full phrase and we'll talk about how the meaning of the phrase may change. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't. After we hear all of the words without any being omitted. How's that sound?
I like it.
All right. So no soapboxes for tonight. But I do have a PowerPoint presentation. So you guys, can you guys see my screen?
Ooh.
Yeah. Fancy.
Very fancy. Yeah. This is the presentation I put together for you called Commonly Misused Phrases. Woohoo! If I had a soundtrack of clapping, that's what I would do. All right, so we're going to practice this. The first phrase we've already talked about is... Oh gosh.
Curiosity killed the cat.
That's right. Curiosity killed the cat. We all know that to mean like, or we all thought that, correct me if I'm wrong, that it meant if you were too nosy to go looking at things that were none of your business, you might end up hurt.
Yep.
But in reality, the whole phrase is curiosity killed the cat, but satisfaction brought it back, meaning whatever the cat found on its little snoopy snoopery was totally worth it.
Snoopy snoopery.
All right. I've actually never heard this one, but this is our first phrase for tonight. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Have you guys ever heard this phrase before?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I haven't.
No.
No. Well, I guess I take it to mean... that, oh shit, I just went forward. This is the full phrase. Power tends to corrupt. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. And then there's this final little sentence that gets omitted. Great men are always bad men. So it makes it a little, I don't know that the meaning of this word changed or the meaning of this phrase changed at all when they added the words. The first part of it was just power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. What do you guys think?
I think that the second sentence rewords the first sentence, but they have the same meaning.
Yeah. And then great men are always bad men. Does that mean that like a lot of these sayings, you'll find out that they come from, they're like wartime phrases that we're getting completely wrong. So maybe it's to do with like a general or something who would maybe be considered great, but not really a good person because of all of the, killing. I don't really know.
It makes me think of like Alexander the Great. I mean, like that was his self-proclaimed name, but supposedly he was, not really a good person in his lust for power.
Right. Well, this was a quote by Lord John Dalbert Dalberg Acton. He was a famous British historian from the 19th century. And all it really tells me when I was researching this particular phrase is that it's a lot more interesting with the last sentence added on. So there you go. All right. Our next one. Starve a cold, feed a fever. Did anybody's grandparents ever tell them this?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard this, but I still don't really understand what it means. It doesn't make much sense.
Well, maybe that's because you're a doctor, Sarah. God. So the full phrase is, if you starve a cold, you'll have to feed a fever.
Mm-hmm. So, whoa, that's completely opposite.
Completely opposite. So that's what Sarah was saying. It doesn't really make much sense. I guess it's like an old wives' tale that if you have a cold, you shouldn't eat anything. And if you have a fever, you should eat foods. But really, you should just eat when you're hungry, probably. Is your body telling you that you need sustenance? And that's what the whole saying actually, I think, is what it means. If you go about starving yourself, you are going to end up sicker.
I always took the original one to mean like you want to feed the fever, because like if you get your fever really high, it's gonna like kill all the bad cold germs in your body.
That's an interesting way to look at it, Jess.
But obviously you don't want your fever to go too high, because you know then you end up seeing Sarah.
Right, because death.
No one wants to see Sarah.
Yeah.
Not I mean, if you go anyway. See Sarah, it's if you go see bad. Sarah, pretty much means you're getting surgery, because.
Yeah. Right, it's gotten real bad.
Yeah, they don't usually anesthetize you for a cold.
Not usually. Not usually. Not unless you have a whole lot of money, and that doesn't always work out really well.
Yeah.
You know, like when you have propofol to help you sleep at night.
Oh, yeah.
That doesn't work very well.
No, it doesn't, I imagine. All right. Well, moving on. The proof is in the pudding.
Ooh.
So this.
Isn't that crazy? You hear that all the time, but what the hell does that even really mean?
So
I can't wait to read the rest of this. But I mean, like, it means that whatever it is you end up with, that's what shows proof that you were going in the right direction. It's the end product. So whatever you're working on is justified by the end product. No, the proof is in the pudding. What does that mean?
I don't know.
It means that the pudding.
So this saying
dates back all the way to the 1920s, but the full saying is the proof of the pudding is in the eating. So
so
I really wanted this to be something like mind-blowing philosophically, but no, it's just meant to say you don't know if you like food if you haven't tried it.
Well, I don't know. I think that it means
people will eat it.
Yeah. Yeah. So whatever it is you're making, if it's pleasing the people you made it for, then good job. Otherwise, not so good. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. It can look like a beautiful pudding with all the best ingredients, but if it's yucky and no one wants to eat it.
Yeah. That's a good point. Also,
then something else.
I feel like, couldn't that, even though we are talking about food and that's what NPR claims it's about, couldn't we extend that to other real life things? Like if you put earrings on a pig, it's still a pig.
I mean, you do eat bacon, so I think that applies.
I love bacon too.
Mer, the proof of the earrings on the pig is in the eating of the bacon.
It's a new phrase. Add it to the list.
All right. So the next one I think is a rather good one. Are you guys ready for it? Are we, unless you
We're
have
ready.
more to talk about the pudding.
No, I'm
I'm just getting
hungry. Let's
hungry,
move
but
on.
that's okay. Great minds think alike.
Hear this one a lot. Makes
Yeah, me
sense.
too. And it seems like it makes sense. It's usually like when you agree with someone, so you're pretty much giving yourself a compliment.
Right. Oh yeah, for sure. Unless it was a shitty idea, and then you're like, yeah, great minds do think alike. So it couldn't not always be a compliment.
You're still saying you have a great mind.
Oh, that's true. That's a good point. I was thinking of it more sarcastically, I guess. All right, so are you guys ready for the full phrase? Great minds think
I'm almost
alike.
scared.
Maybe this to me means sort of like if yeah, like I agree with Tracy, everything he said. The full saying is, great minds think alike, though fools seldom differ.
Ooh.
Oh, harsh.
Yeah. So this, I think this sort of takes the thinking alike a step further into like group think, where I know that sometimes when you're working on teams, you run the risk of everybody just sort of thinking alike because they're together. But if somebody has a bad idea, I think what this fool saying is saying that it would be foolish to not speak up and, sort of stray away from the thinking of the whole group.
So I don't see it that way, and it feels to me like there are two. Like I immediately think of two different ways to to interpret this. One is that I still don't understand the whole great minds think alike part. But though fools seldom differ, like I just think about the people who just nod and go along with it,
Yeah, that's
but don't have
actually
their
kind of
own
what I'm
original
thinking
thought.
too.
Or thanks, Jess. I just got that. She nods and agrees. Or does it mean that, like, it almost seems like they're saying the same two things are so much alike that you don't know if they're great minds or fools. Like, great minds think alike. So if you're agreeing, you're great minds thinking alike. Maybe you're all fools and you seldom differ.
Yeah, maybe that's true. So the article that I read says it's foolish people, not great minds, that are more likely to have the same banal thoughts all the time.
Then why does it say great minds think alike?
Yeah, I
Because
don't
people have
know.
just grasped on that part of the saying
Yeah.
when the reality is the whole saying is the whole thing, but people just like the sound of great minds think alike, so they take that, which is kind of the fun thing about this, is
Yeah.
all along we've got these sayings that we think we know what they mean. I know, but what's the difference between thinking alike and seldom differing? Aren't those the same?
Guess they're just
If you
saying that,
think
like,
alike,
not
it
having
means you're
a good.
not different.
Yeah, I think they're saying that, like, original. It's actually not good to have the same thoughts as everyone because then you're not going to have any original ideas that progress the world.
Then what do great minds think alike mean?
I
Okay,
think
so what
when
I'm
you say
saying is,
the whole phrase, it's basically saying if you're having the same thoughts as everybody else, then you're foolish. You're not being independent.
like historic, or not historically, but like when you're just kind of bandying about that phrase, great minds think alike, everyone thinks that that's a very positive phrase. But the reality is the whole saying, when you see read the whole thing, you realize, oh, this is not a positive phrase at all,
Right.
because great minds thinking alike is this exactly the same as fools seldom differing. So really, thinking alike is not a positive thing. Having different thoughts and separate thoughts and your own thoughts is what's more important.
But just like curiosity killed the cat, someone has taken just that first sex portion of it and taken it to mean something completely different in the positive sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, this isn't sinking in for me. I don't understand. So curiosity killed the cat, but satisfaction brought it back is like, this thing happened. The curiosity definitely bit the cat. It had a bad, but then it rose again. It came back to life. So the end was good. But these two phrases, I don't understand how you can stick them together. They don't make sense to me together. So what does a great mind do?
It does not think like other minds.
But it literally says great minds think alike.
And that's the part that we've always taken, right? That great minds, because what they're making fun of the fact that great minds are thinking alike. No, really, that's very sarcastic, because the truth is that really great minds think alike, but fools seldom differ. So no, you don't really want to. Is it really great to all think the same? Or is everybody just a fool if they're thinking the same way? I think what it's saying is everybody that's thinking alike, you know, like when you get into some cult where everybody's thinking all the same things just because they've been told to think it, then they're the fools. Thinking alike is not great. I think it's the underlying message.
Yeah,
in the I whole would agree with that. Break.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys are right. I don't like it. I think it's grammatically flawed or something. It doesn't make sense to me. To me, that says paper is red, though paper is blue. So what color is paper? Like that, though you have two conflicting statements. How do you know which one they think is the truth?
I think that what they're trying to say is maybe people who think they're having great thoughts are actually foolish people.
I think it's that I think this part is like a joke. The great minds think alike part is
the like sarcastic piece of it.
Yeah, that's the sarcastic part. And what they're, you know, then they say, this is why it's sarcastic, because fools seldom differ. I think what they're saying is, you think you're great because you think the same thing. Like you go to that cult and everyone's thinking the same thing and you think it's great. But the fact of the matter is that you're all fools for just believing the same thing. Are you trying to bring me as many things as you can that make a lot of noise?
I'll have to think about that one. I'm not a fan. Not a fan of that one.
All right. Well, that's not my favorite one. So let's move on to the next one. Jack of all trades, master of none.
Ah, so I think this phrase means that if you don't stop and concentrate on something, then you'll know a little bit about everything, but not a lot about anything.
Yep. That's traditionally what that means. I feel like we're about to be smacked in the face.
I know. It's going to say, Jack of all trades, master of none, paper is red.
What it actually says is, Jack of all trades, master of none, though oftentimes better than master of one. So it does sort of go back to the knowing a little bit about a lot of things. You know, the first portion of it was Jack of all trades, master of none was sort of a way to describe somebody who didn't really know a whole lot about the odd jobs that they were doing. Somebody said in an article that I read that it was that third part sort of added or helped was sort of to remind people that knowing a lot or knowing some things about a lot of things is often better than having just one specialty and only knowing that one thing.
It's interesting. So like to me, a jack of all trades is kind of like a Renaissance person. Like I know a little bit about, I can do all these different things. I'm all over the map on stuff. So would you rather be a jack of all trades or would you rather be a master of one?
Well, I personally, I guess I'd have to be a jack of all trades. And I just think about the way that I do things. Like right now, I'm learning how to juggle, and I just got really excited about kite flying. And for a while, I was really into origami. And I feel like maybe if I just focus on one thing, I don't know that I would get to experience all those other things.
There's that aspect of it. And then there's also if, when the apocalypse hits, you really better know a little bit about everything. Because if you only know one thing, when the apocalypse hits, it's probably not going to be an important thing anymore.
Yeah.
That's true. And Godzilla. Godzilla comes to St. Croix right now and wipes out the island, everybody except for TC and Sara and Bill and Dean. You have to have survival skills.
Jess, how
That's
about
a good
you? Would
thing.
you rather be a jack of all trades or would you rather be a master of one?
I don't know. I mean, because to me, when it's said, like when that phrase is said, it's basically saying like, oh, sure, you're a jack of all trades, but not necessarily saying it in a positive light, like a Renaissance man. They're basically saying it as like, you're kind of mediocre at all these things, instead
Yeah.
of being like, so to me, it's just kind of like, I don't know, do I really want to be known as like, well, she's meh at a few different things, or oh, she's really good at this thing. So I don't know.
Yeah,
Guess it
that's a good
depends on
point.
how
I
you're
think
taking it.
no, but I think you're right because a jack and a master are different things. And so I think you're right. I think the idea is that you're mediocre or medium skilled on a lot of different things, or you are the master of one thing. So like if you think of a lot of really famous people, if you are a famous golfer, then you're a master of golfing. And you might not be a jack of a lot of things because you really concentrated and spent your time on one thing. So, would you rather be pretty good at a lot of things or one of the very best at one thing?
I want to be the very best at one thing that I can make a lot of money at it so I can pay people to do the other things.
Yeah, I mean, there's really something to be said for that, for sure.
Yeah.
If you think of most people who rise to greatness, I know we had a statement about greatness being evil or something, but most people who rise to greatness, they've done that. They've honed their skill in one thing, like a ninja. A ninja is a master of one. And if there were no masters of one, there'd be no ninjas. That would be sad. I like ninjas.
Yeah, who
I
doesn't
like
like
a
a good
Ninja Turtles.
ninja?
Ninja Turtle.
Ninja Turtles?
Yeah, I mean.
That's an interesting question. I think we should do a survey, a Facebook survey. Would you rather be one of the very best in one thing, or would you rather be medium skill in lots of things?
Okay.
I think personally, I think it's more useful to be somewhat good at a lot of things. But you are a master at one thing. You're an anesthesiologist that you honed in on your skill at your work. Sort of, but now I boss people around all day. So
She doesn't really get to put people to sleep
I
as much
boss
as she
other
likes
people around
to.
there doing anesthesia. I took my other skills that were not just anesthesia skills, and they were, I mean, let's think if I be a bit more serious for a second. My management skills, I had other skills, which were my management skills and my seeing the big picture skills and getting folks to do the things that they need to do skills. And I put all of those together with my anesthesia skills and then manage the OR.
But I don't think that a master of one thing is completely ignorant in other things.
True.
I don't either.
But yeah, so what I wrote is, would you rather be one of the best at one thing or average at most things? That might not be good enough. I'll
You'll
word.
wordsmith it.
Thank you. All
You're welcome.
right. That's interesting.
Next, The early bird gets the worm.
Oh, I know this one. I can't remember the next part, but it's.
So, to me, obviously, this means, if you're first to arrive, you're going to get the best rewards, right? The early bird gets the worm. The full saying is, the early bird gets the worm, but the second mouse gets the cheese.
Oh, bum.
So while, you might be the first person to arrive and get the best rewards, maybe sometimes it's maybe okay to learn from other people's mistakes.
I like that one.
Yeah.
And I like
Yeah.
cheese, so.
Yeah, he doesn't like cheese.
Yeah, it's like the first person on a hike gets all the cobwebs, the spider webs.
Yes. That's why you carry the stick.
The second person. Yeah. It's always best to be second in line in a hike.
Yeah. All right.
So there's a video about how the more important person is the first follower. And so they show, like, it's the video is how to start a movement, and they show that somebody goes out there and he starts dancing, and they're like, if nobody else gets out there and dances, then he's not a leader. He's just the only crazy person dancing. But if another person goes out there and starts dancing, that person really starts the movement because now there are two people out there dancing and more to follow. It's an interesting video, but it kind of reminds me of this in a way. I know this
That
has a slightly different meaning because in here, the first mouse dies.
yeah, but that is an interesting philosophy. I have seen that video and I agree with you. I think it's very powerful
Yeah.
and it's fun to watch. All right, moving on. Rome wasn't built in a day.
I know the rest of this one.
Do
You do?
you?
Somebody actually used the quote in a TV show that I have watched a few times,
What
like
TV?
Leverage. I like to go back and rewatch it or just like have it on and listen to it.
I've never even heard of Leverage. We're working our way through Suits right now.
It's not
I
on
love
anymore, but
Leverage.
it's a heist show. I like heist shows.
It's a what show? Heist. Like
Like a bank heist.
basically they're a bunch of robbers, kind of. They're robbers and grifters and this is and matters, and they've all got a skill, and they
Wait,
are
wait.
all masters of one thing, right, Jess? And
True,
they
yeah.
all get together, but what they do is they use all of their skills to bring down nasty people. They commit crimes to bring down bad people, so everyone feels leverage. Everyone is very proud of them for having broken all these rules and laws,
Sort of like
because
a
basically
Robin Hood.
they were committing bad evil for good reasons. Huh,
Sounds like a Robin
interesting.
Hood type story.
Or like
Very
Suicide
descriptive.
Squad.
Yeah.
It's like bad guys doing good things for bad reasons.
Well, friends, Rome wasn't built in a day, but it burned in one.
Whoa.
So, what this means is sometimes it takes a while to build something really great. But one little match is all it takes to burn all that work to the ground. And that could be said for like a bad review about your company, or think about that the movement that we hate so much, the cancel culture. One little mistake can like totally ruin somebody's reputation.
Think about a relationship or trust. Like it takes a long time to earn someone's trust and you can destroy it like that.
Yeah, with one little mistake, learning that about Rachel in season four of Suits.
Or a bad move. I don't know that it's always a mistake.
Yeah, bad move, bad decision. So Rome wasn't built in a day, but it burned in one. Remember that, folks. All
Let
right.
that be a warning to all you all out there.
All y'all.
All y'all.
If you're gonna do something dumb, don't do it in front of a camera.
And that's what Jess takes away from that statement. Don't get caught.
Don't get caught.
right, our next phrase, an eye for an eye.
Mean, that's from the Bible. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? No? I thought that was from the Bible.
This what the article that I pulled this from didn't doesn't make any reference to it being in the Bible, but maybe it is in the Bible. This
Maybe
is
I'm wrong.
so, you know, it's basically about revenge, right?
Right.
Okay, an eye for an eye
Leaves the whole world
only,
blind.
yeah, makes the whole world blind.
Oh.
So what I think what they're saying here is, you know, it might revenge might feel good, but what good are you really doing? The article I read says in war terminology, this is called a Pyrrhic victory, when although you've won, the damage you've taken is so great that it doesn't even matter anymore. Tracy, what are you thinking about? What are you looking up?
That statement, I'm almost positive, was in the Bible. I'm going to find it out. And it's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. So, that the fact that this statement is included to me kind of negates the legitimacy of all of them. That's a very Bill Cole way of thinking.
I
And
know.
I don't usually subscribe to it in the same way. But in this case, it's how I'm feeling. Now I have to find out if that's really why.
So should I just shut the whole PowerPoint down and not go on with the rest of
No,
it?
but I do totally get it. Somebody made a great ending to that statement that I think that I subscribe much more to. I like the statement way better this way, but it's not the original statement. Like curiosity killed the cat, but satisfaction brought it back is the original phrase. And everybody shortened it, which changed the meaning. This is like something somebody added to the original phrase to purposefully change the meaning. It's different to
Yeah.
me. We're looking shit up,
Yeah. It
man.
might be in the Bible. I feel like I remember hearing stuff like this when I was, when they forced
So
me to
what I
go
think
to
it is, if
Catholic
I'm not
school.
mistaken, it was in the Old Testament, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth or something. I don't know if tooth for tooth is part of it. But if I'm not mistaken, it's in the Old Testament, and that was kind of the way they lived, that if you did this thing, the thing was done back to you to
If
bring
you
justice.
steal coins from the person collecting taxes, we're going to cut your hand off, kind of thing.
Yeah,
There's a lot
kind
of that
of
in the
maybe like
Bible.
that. It was like whatever you did was done back to you to bring justice. But then when Jesus came in the Bible, he negated that and said that's not really how we should be living. I'm almost positive that that's what that is from.
I
Okay,
have.
so this says an eye for an eye is a commandment found in the book of Exodus 21, 23 through 27. Expressing the principle of reciprocal justice, measure for measure.
All right, so this one has been bastardized from the Bible.
Or I think, someone has said that, yeah, sure, somebody does something to you, you do something back to them, but I think what they're saying is that, you can't get through life just doing that.
Yeah, I think a lot of, I don't know about a lot, but some things that we say definitely comes from the Bible in general, I think. There's a lot
Okay,
of
so then in
advice in
Matthew,
there.
I think this is Jesus talking. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. So he's saying the opposite. Like an eye for an eye is not so much. If somebody hurts you, then give patience, stay innocent and true, and give them the other cheek. See if they do it again. Or, I don't know exactly.
Yeah, so I think that in that particular Bible passage that you read is probably more closely aligned with this fool saying, which, by the way, it was
It is.
attributed to Mahatma Gandhi.
Ah, that makes sense.
Makes
Yeah,
sense.
so basically, I think what he's saying is, because here I'm reading in different words, it says, don't resist someone who's evil, but if anyone strikes you, turn the other cheek. That's where that, maybe that's where that statement comes from.
Oh, I'm sure it does.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. Thanks for going down that rabbit hole, TC.
Yeah.
All right, well, here's another one that I don't know the origin of, but it makes for an interesting thought. Birds of a feather flock together.
I'm almost afraid to know where this one's going. No, me too. I can't wait.
So y'all kind of know what this means, right? Friends kind of stick together no matter what, right?
People with similar origins, similar interests, similar things, similar feathers stick together.
Yeah. Well, birds of a feather flock together until the cat shows up.
Oh.
Just a little way of saying not all, they don't always stick together, and they stick together until times get tough sometimes, which is a
That's
life
so
lesson. Oh,
sad.
it is
Until
sad.
times get
Yeah.
tough.
That's not a very
That's
positive
interesting.
one, but. All right, I have two
Yeah,
more.
unless you think
Yeah,
about
but this
those.
disrespect, it almost hurts. Oh, no.
Unless you think of those birds that always like move in a bunch or whatever when they're flying, like they see a, an eagle or
Yeah.
something, and
Oh,
then they.
that's beautiful and mesmerizing. Have you guys seen those videos of
No.
the blobs? Oh my gosh, I gotta find one. I'm so glad you said that, Jess. I
I'm
can't,
gonna
hold
be
on.
that kind of bird. Damn it. Damn
Yeah.
it. Yeah, it is interesting to think about it. This is, I think, one of the more negative ones. Like, it turned it into a pretty negative thought after the second half of it was added to it. And I don't know that I love that so much.
Yeah. It is, on the one hand, you almost feel all warm and fuzzy about the birds of a feather flocking together, and then boom, dose of reality.
Yep. Did you find the video, TC?
Isn't that crazy? So cool.
That is so
Wow.
crazy.
Too bad everyone listening can't see that. Yeah.
I know.
If anyone's been driving through like Midwestern Ohio, you probably have seen it at some point, and it is just as cool in person.
How do they not run into each other and come out with little
Oh.
concussions, little birdie concussions? Birdie concussions. That's beautiful, though.
It is
Looks like they're making
beautiful.
kisses. It does. It does.
So I'll put a
That's a
link
good
to
look.
this video in our show notes.
Have you ever seen that one? He left one. I know. It's him. He's like, I'm out.
He's like, oh,
This is
wait,
too much for
crap.
me. I didn't
He
get the
just thought
memo.
everyone was going a different direction.
Right. Stop sharing. All right. You guys ready to go back to our,
Stood. So ready.
to our mystery episode.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Way to spark some fun discussions.
I hope so. I hope you guys are enjoying it. All right, there's two left. This is the first one. My country, right or wrong?
Wait, we can't see it.
Oh shit. Shit, I forgot to share. I'm so bad at this.
Be the cussiest episode we've ever had.
In a long time. Oh no, that's not what you guys want to see. Sorry.
Well, I mean, it's all right.
Sorry, it's cheating.
So I've never heard this phrase ever.
Haven't either before I started doing this research. My
No,
country, right
I
or
don't think I
wrong?
have.
Well, this is the
Are you
short.
basically saying that I love my country and I am, what's the word? I am patriotic. Even if my country's wrong, I'm going to stand up for my country. Is that what that's saying?
That's what I think it's saying. Yeah. What do you guys think?
That's probably how
That
I'd
makes
interpret
sense.
it.
Yep.
Or is it someone who forgets where they're from and they're asking, "Is my country?
Right?
My country? Right? Wrong?"
Right? Wrong?
That's why punctuation is so important, Tracy.
That's right. That's why we need the Oxford comma.
Yeah, I love
Yeah,
the Oxford comma.
exactly.
I'm a fan of it. I still use
It's
it.
very important.
All right. Well, the full.
I use it when I text messages, so
Yeah, me
me
too.
too. My country, right or wrong, if right to be kept right, and if wrong to be set right, is the full quote. And it's attributed to Carl Schurz, who is a senator here in the United States in 1872, is when he said it. So this article that I read says that the shorter, more common saying is often used to pledge unwavering support for one's country, regardless of politics. But his full quote takes on a whole different sentiment, certainly lighter on the moral blindness. They say, "This is my country, and I have a duty to steer it in the right direction," which is what it feels like when you see the whole phrase, in my opinion.
Yeah, I like the full
Yeah.
one a lot better. I was
A
not
lot
feeling
better.
it at the start.
No, me either. I feel like if people are going to be throwing this statement around, they should be throwing around the full one. My country, right or wrong, if right to
Opposite,
be
though.
kept right, and if wrong to be set right.
I don't think they're opposite, though. It's like if you have a kid and you say, "My child, right or wrong." So you're going to support your kid even when they're making mistakes. You're going to set them right, but they're still your kid and you're still going to support them. So to me, it's like a clarification, but
Right.
not the opposite. You're going to support your country no matter what, but you are going to speak up and try to set it right if you think it's going in the wrong direction. But you're not gonna, what's the word when you walk out?
Abandon.
You're not gonna abandon it. Even when it's wrong, you're not going to say bad things about it. You're not going to like defame it, even when it's wrong. You're just going to work to set it right. Like, I'm going to dig in. I still think it's all about saying that I'm dedicated to my country,
Yeah, I agree with you.
but not blindly.
For me, personally, and you know, everyone's got their own personal take on things. When I see my country, right or wrong, I just think of Hitler and all the people that just followed Hitler, right or wrong. You know,
Yeah,
that's
that is the feeling I get when I
not
read
a
the
single,
first piece of it.
not what's that?
That is the feeling I get when I read just the first piece of it.
Yeah,
But I
and
do
for
love
me,
Tracy's
there's
explanation.
I do, but when you think about all the people that, I mean, there were not very many people that tried to set Hitler right.
Yeah, but I think in this quote, the difference between like my country, right or wrong, if right to be kept right and if wrong to be set right, are the people who still believed in Germany, but just went against Hitler and tried to make Germany a better place. It's not the people who said, "F Germany, I'm moving to the United States." So it's, to me, it's still,
I feel like there weren't very many Germans that did that.
well, there were some like Schindler.
No.
Oscar Schindler did it. No, but I'm just talking about the quote. And that's a really extreme example. But I still think that this example would be, and I don't know, maybe Oscar Schindler decided he hated Germany. But to me, this is, "I still love Germany. We need to get rid of Hitler." That's what this phrase, this isn't a, "I hate Germany because of Hitler." That's the
Right, but if you
difference.
take the first statement all by itself, it's the we're gonna let Hitler do what he wants because he's our country.
Maybe, although I don't know that I see it that way. I still see it like, I don't know. When I go to this, I go immediately to right now in the United States, there are some people who want to denounce their citizenship. Instead of digging in and doing the work to fix things, they're like, "Bye-bye." They're gone. Both people think that what's happening is wrong, but one group is saying, "I'm going to dig in and fix it because this is my country. I'm going to love it unconditionally. I'm just going to do the work to make it better."
But Hitler and Germany, my country, right or wrong, whether they thought Hitler was wrong or right, they weren't trying to fix it. They were letting him
Some
do what he
people were.
wanted. Not very many.
Again, like Oscar Schindler, there were some people who
Yeah,
did,
there
but I'm just
were.
talking about the phrase, not Hitler or Germany in particular. To me, the beginning of that phrase is the same. The end of the phrase shows that you're not swaying your own beliefs. You're still gonna love your country. You're just gonna dig in and try to make it better. You're gonna do the work. You're dedicated to doing the work to make it
But I
better.
think that's sort of the whole point of this mystery episode. It's taking that first part of the statement, and that's the biggest, that's the that first part of the statement is what we hear all the time and we are familiar with, and we might get a whole set of beliefs and thoughts on what that beginning phrase means. But then, whoa, when you read the whole thing, you
It
see,
takes on a different light.
yeah, it's a very different light.
I guess for me, the thing is, I've never heard that statement. When I read My Country, Right or Wrong, I don't see it in that extreme way that I'm going to do and believe the same thing, right or wrong. So I didn't interpret it that way, but I think Sarah is right. It's because I don't know that phrase. I'm not used to it, so it doesn't take on a new meaning.
Yeah, I like your explanation of being supportive and digging in and finding answers, but I do think that the just saying the first part of it does sort of elicit a negative, not negative necessarily, my country right or wrong, but I think when you think of it in terms of a parent-child relationship like you did, that you can sort of spin it in a positive direction, but. To me, it's sort of when you read just this, My Country, Right or Wrong, it feels like blindly following
It's that's
and
I think that's the
the movement of the country. Yeah. And I didn't, when you showed the first part, I didn't interpret it that way. That's not where my mind went, but it's not a phrase I'm familiar with.
And I think you can equate, like, if you just took that phrase with a parent-child relationship, it doesn't matter what my kid does, my kid, right or wrong, then maybe it's a positive thing. I love my kid, right or wrong, or I'm gonna let my kid, they're my kid. Whatever they do is fine.
Yeah, it's funny
Yeah,
because I
could
don't
be.
interpret, I don't,
But isn't
I
that
just,
funny how your own personal background and thoughts and just really change the way you look at it,
yeah,
even so
it's a
many
different
statements?
episode. What does this phrase mean to you? Because you can read the same, it's one, two, three, four, five words, and the way we're interpreting it is so vastly different.
That's the beauty of these, right? All right. The last phrase that I have for you girls tonight is my personal favorite. Blood is thicker than water.
I feel like I've heard the rest of this, but I don't remember it.
Well, don't think about that right now. Just think about blood is thicker than water because we say that a lot, or we hear it a lot anyway, if we don't say it.
And so what does that mean to us then? Blood is thicker than water. What does that mean to you?
It means to me that that your family should be more important than people who aren't in your family. Blood is thicker than water.
That's what it means. That's how it makes me feel as well. Well, the full saying, which is my favorite, is the blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb, which says the
Whoa.
exact opposite.
Oh, I
It
like that one a
totally
lot better.
does.
Oh.
So this, the full saying actually means that your this actually came from a wartime as well. It was supposed to mean that the blood that's shed in battle bonds soldiers more strongly than just simple genetics. Yeah, so a lot of these things I said I remember tie back to like wartime things, but for me, like I have my family and I have my chosen family, and I feel like you girls are my chosen family, and my friends Tina and Nicole and Jenny Meyer, they're all my chosen family, and that's why I think I love this whole saying so much, because I really do feel like all of these people in my life are I'm more strongly connected to than my actual family.
Yeah, when I hear the word covenant, I think of a promise. And so to me, this is like the people that you have sworn to, that you have, made that covenant with, whatever covenant it is, that's thicker than.
And being family.
Yeah.
Yeah, for
Huh.
sure.
Completely different spin on that one. Right. It is fascinating. Well, yeah, that's,
That's
I
my
mean,
favorite
that could
saying.
be a
That's
whole conversation. It
for
makes you
sure.
wonder why got shortened, because shortening it changes the meaning completely. Why did these things ever get shortened?
Well, I think this one got shortened because of some angry mother who wanted her child to feel guilty. Duh.
That's really interesting. Huh.
Yeah, I love it. So that's all I have for you girls tonight. That's all the phrases. There were some more, but they weren't very good. I want to revisit idioms sometime because I feel like that's closely related to this. And there are just 1 million idioms out there, but anyway.
Oh, way to make us think, Mara. That was pretty cool.
No, that was fun.
Thanks. I'm glad you guys
Yay.
enjoyed it. I had so much fun putting this episode together. Did you guys learn anything tonight about each other or phrases?
Yeah, for sure. Both.
What about, do you guys have a favorite saying that we discussed tonight?
I like that last one.
Me too. I really like this one. I'm not sure which one I like the best. This last one really blew my mind a little bit. Yeah. But I think they were all kind of, it's kind of neat to see the way things change when you put it all together. And it's kind of fun just to talk about how everyone interprets things just a little bit differently, because we're looking through different lenses. That was fun.
Yeah, and different experiences, which I guess is what shapes your lens. Well, thank you for playing along tonight. And thank you, fellow explorer, for listening to this episode. Check out our website, sirensoapbox.com, for all things Siren Soapbox, including our upcoming Getting Real with Siren Soapbox movie club. Voting has officially opened for the first movie club of 2024. So get out there, cast your vote, let your voice be heard, people. If you simply cannot get enough of the sirens, consider joining our Patreon. There is just a ton of extra content out there, including the video of Siren TC teaching us all how to fold an origami sailboat. That was a fun video. But if a monthly subscription isn't your thing, just share this episode with someone you think might enjoy it. Sharing the show is the best way to grow our listenership and help our fellow explorers find us. Until next time, dive in, stay curious, and be happy. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Siren Soapbox, and a special thank you to Sea Strings for providing our music. Snag their latest EP from iTunes today. Follow the Sirens on all the social medias and don't forget to tell your friends about us. Like and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. We'll catch you next time on another episode of Siren Soapbox.